Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message is a study on kindness with scriptures coming from the book of 2 Samuel in the Old Testament of the Bible. This message is presented by Associate Pastor Linda Noah. Let's join Linda as she shares with us this week's message.
Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. We have a lot to be thankful for our mothers because they've taught us a great deal of many things. You know, my mom taught me about God. She said, "You're going to die when your father gets home." My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about logic. She said, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me about the weather. This room of yours looks as if a typhoon went through it. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about wisdom. When you get to my age, honey, you'll understand. My mother taught me about government. I am your mother. You better listen to me. And my favorite, my mother taught me about justice. One day, honey, you're going to have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. My idea of a great Mother's Day is to have breakfast in bed, my feet rubbed, and a day of complete relaxation. My husband's idea of a great Mother's Day is have me speak. So somewhere I lost this along the way. But as I prayed about today, and I kept asking myself two questions. What is the hallmark of a great mom? What's the hallmark of a great mother? And what's the greatest gift you could give your mother today? And I kept coming up with the same answer again and again. And that answer is kindness. It's the hallmark of a great mom, kindness. And it's the greatest thing you could do for your mother today. That is to be kind to her. But you see, kindness isn't just for moms. Because the Bible says the kind man benefits himself. Kindness is for all of us. Ray and I lived, as you know, for a while just outside of San Francisco, and just about a mile and a half off of the coast there is this island called Alcatraz. And on this island is a prison, and it's a very renowned prison, partly because no one, they say, in the history of the prison ever escaped from there, alive at least. And so when people come to San Francisco, they often want to visit this prison and see what it's all about. And because of some very, impactful people were imprisoned there at one time. And so guests often want to come and want to hear about it. And as you go on to this island, it's a mile and a half away, the prison's there, and of course, water all around it. And you put on these headphones, and you're allowed to walk through the prison. And as you walk through the prison, you get to hear the stories of the men that have lived there and tell about their experience. And as you walk along, each of the stories of a former inmate or the experience of one of the workers there just fills your head and fills your ears. And there's one story that is shared that is quite memorable. And it's a story about one of the inmates, and it would just so happen that when the winds were just right, as he laid in his cell at night, that he could hear the sounds, and he could hear the laughter, and he could hear the music as it filtered from the city of San Francisco across the water and filled his cell room. He said that was the biggest prison. That was the most deepest sense of isolation that he could ever hope to imagine, and he felt so alone, locked away from a world that was so close, just a mile and a half across the water, but it seemed like it was so far away. As I heard this story, I was reminded how many of us today live in prisons of isolation. In study after study after study, psychologists identify an increasing sense of loneliness and the lack of connection that we are experiencing in America today. And despite the growing population, despite the urban sprawl that we're experiencing, and despite the fact that new and better ways of communications is happening with each other, we are growing more and more and more lonely. We are busier than we have ever been before. And today, many of us are actually spending more time becoming very competent at our computer skills than we are at our people skills. You see, today, I can go to the bank, I can buy groceries, in some states, I can even put gas in my own car. I can order almost anything online and have it delivered to my home without ever having to talk to a single person. I just take that credit card, I slide it through the slot, or I take those numbers and I click it into my computer, and within a matter of a couple days, everything and all I could ever want and all I could ever hope for can be delivered to my home. One author described the problem this way. He says that people don't know how to reach out and touch people. Reaching out and touching people. That's what happens when the fruit of kindness is born in our lives. We desire to reach out and to touch people. We get a picture of what kindness looks like in the story that can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I invite you to turn there because I'm going to reference it several times throughout this morning. And it's the story of the encounter between David and Mephibosheth. And to see the picture clearly, it's important that we take a look at the story here in the scriptures, and we find an incredible illustration of what kindness really looks like. Now, we know the story. It's been folding prior to this passage, and David, a former shepherd boy, had become the king of Israel. And becoming king was quite an accomplishment in that time, but it did not happen without a lot of struggle and difficulties along the way. And the king prior to David, as those of you who remember the story, was named Saul. And Saul had died in battle by this time with the Philistines, but there continued to be conflict between Saul's family and the family of David, primarily because many of Saul's descendants had a rightful claim to the throne. The conflict between these families lasted for a very long time. We know this because in 2 Samuel 3:1, an earlier chapter, the war between the house of Saul and the house of David, the scripture says, lasted a long, long time. And it goes and it goes and it goes. And while it does, during this season, David grows stronger and stronger and stronger, and Saul grows weaker and weaker and weaker. And during this long struggle, you can read the chapters. It's quite a story. In fact, it would make quite a movie. It's a story of intrigue and betrayal. It's a story of war. It's a story of murder. It's a story of treachery. And throughout this entire time, the house of David and the house of Saul continue to be bitter enemies. And that's what makes David's question and this passage so remarkable and so surprising. David asks, "Is there still anyone left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" In verse 1. You see, Jonathan, he was one of Saul's sons. And although David had been anointed by the Lord to be the king of Israel, Jonathan, in reality, was the heir apparent. He was the blood child that should have been heir to the throne. However, Jonathan and David had been really good friends, best friends, they say. In fact, the scripture says that they were one in spirit, that they loved each other as they loved themselves. And this beautiful friendship led to a promise that no matter who became king, whether it was Jonathan or if it was David, their friendship would last forever. But see, that was a promise that David and Jonathan had made. And now Jonathan was dead. For the rest of Saul's family, David was an enemy, someone to be taken down, someone to be taken out, someone to be destroyed, a threat to their security, a threat to their power, a threat to the rightful place that they deserve to have on the throne. So when David asked, Is there anyone in Jonathan's house and Saul's family and to whom I can show kindness to? He, in effect, was saying, is there anyone left in the enemy camp that I can love? Could someone go and can they find an enemy for me to love? The word in that passage of scripture in verse 1 is the word kindness, and it's translated in Hebrew as the word hesed. In its fullest sense, that word means kindness, love, steadfastness, a covenantal friendship, loyalty, love in its very fullness. It's a word that the Bible uses to describe God's relationship to you and God's relationship to me. And it's the kind of word that is used to describe the most appropriate kind of relationship that we need to have with each other. In the New Testament, the word used for kindness is Christostasis, and it's a word used to describe love in action. The translation is a word, the concept of actively seeking the good of another. The story of David's encounter with Mephibosheth offers us a better definition of this, better than could be seen in any movie or any other painted picture, this idea of this hesed, Christostasis, this kindness, this kind of love. The first thing that happens when David said, is there anybody in the house of Saul that I can love? And someone knew of Mephibosheth, and they brought Mephibosheth forward to David, and he's the son of Jonathan, David's very best friend, and he's Saul's grandson, and that makes him a legitimate candidate to be heir for the throne. But you know, when Mephibosheth was 5 years old, the Philistine army was attacking Saul's family. And the nurse grabbed Mephibosheth, and in her haste, she grabbed him, and she was running, and she dropped him. And as she dropped him, his ankles were broken, and he was crippled for life. So he ends up hiding, they end up hiding him in a city called Lodabar. It was just an indiscriminate little city. In fact, the naming of Lodabar is called the barren place, the place of no pasture. It was nothing. It was nothing insignificant. It was insignificant, in fact, because even Mephibosheth, he was insignificant. He wasn't a very impressive person. And while the conflict raged between David and Mephibosheth's family, Mephibosheth was living in this barren place, much, much, much like this young man who was living in Alcatraz on this island of isolation. He could see what was happening in Jerusalem. He knew what was going on. He saw that David was rising to power, the place that he should be. And he just had to watch it from afar. Circumstances had left Mephibosheth lonely, had left him isolated, and now he receives a summons from David, the coming king of Israel. I want you to look at verse 6 of chapter 9. You notice the first thing that David does? The first thing he does is speak Mephibosheth's name. David says, Mephibosheth! In speaking his name, David recognizes Mephibosheth as a person, not some nameless enemy, not some kind of a nameless exile. He's not labeled in a category of a victim or a refuge. He's a person. He has a name. And David knows him, and he calls him by name. Have you ever tried engaging with somebody, it might be a grocery store clerk or a waitress or a waiter at your restaurant, and you call them by name? What seems to happen with that? It changes, in many times, the whole atmosphere of your interaction. I tried it a few times this last week, just seeing what it would be like. And all of a sudden, when you call someone by name, they become, instead of this distant person, they become a human for you, someone to care about, someone's mother, someone's son, someone's daughter, someone that has a name, someone that is important. You know, another incredible act of kindness that we can do is we call them by name and just even smile at people. What amazing thing that is when we just take the time to smile at people. And I was at Borders the other day, and I found this book. It's called One Smile, and it's a Benjamin Franklin Award smile, and it talks about this little girl named Katie, And she sees a young man on a park bench, and she doesn't say anything at all to him. She just sees him, and she's walking by with her mother, and she smiles at him. And that smile makes that young man get up from the park bench and do some different things with his life. And the story unfolds about the ripple effect that just happens and happens and happens and happens just because the little girl smiled. And what's beautiful about this story is it ends and it closes with that unknown to her, that little man seeing her again someday in a much better place and recognizing that smile, that little smile that had changed his life forever. And then it also changed the life of the people that she had touched through the ripple effect of her smile. Knowing people by name, extending them kindness. That's why we're doing the backyard barbecues. That's why we're asking you to sign up and host a barbecue and invite people to your home and get to know each other by name. How powerful that is and what it can do. The smallest act of kindness has the power to change the world. And so David calls Mephibosheth by name. He doesn't call Mephibosheth by name just once. You look at that passage, he does it again and again and again because he's a person, someone to be cared about. And then he does the next incredible act of kindness. Mephibosheth is standing there. I can imagine he's terrified. He's not sure what's going to happen. He's been in exile. He's the last link in Saul's line. And David is calling him forward. I bet he can imagine that it's the time that he's to be executed. It has finally arrived. But what does David do? He says, "Don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. Don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness." Why? For the sake of your father, Jonathan. You know, we are Mephibosheth in this story. We are Mephibosheth in this story. You know, I have the joy of having, I think, a pretty unique marriage. And one of the joys that I think that Ray and I have with each other is there's very little that we argue about or actually even disagree about. And what happens when he's wrong, I just begin praying for him. And so I discover I don't have to bring a lot to his attention because God kind of takes care of that for me. And what I also noticed is that the Lord often speaks to us in very much the same way and very often about the very same things. And so often we don't have to say yes and or yes but. We can often say yes and the Lord just brings things up in our lives and in our heart. And he asked me, "What are you going to talk about on Mother's Day?" And I said, "Well, I think I'm going to do it on kindness. You know, I've just been noticing a lot about kindness, and I think I'm going to do on the passage of Mephibosheth." And this was about Tuesday. And it's just kind of in my head, and don't have it all down yet, but I've done my research, and I think that's what I'm going to do. And he kind of giggles a little bit. He says, "Did you read my blog?" And I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, read my blog." I said, "I haven't gotten your blog. Is it today?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, it's today." This was Tuesday. His blog was on Mephibosheth and kindness. And I said, "You know, what's good is God speaking to the two of us." And I said, "You know, I'm not going to read it because I don't want it to influence me, and I want this to be my own thing and whatnot." And so last night I was pouring through my notes and I decided to read his blog. And so I want to quote him. And this idea that we are Mephibosheth. And he did it so succinctly and so amazingly. And last night I'm going, "I got to add this into my notes." So this is Ray Noah from his blog. And he says, "We too suffered a fall that left us crippled. We have a permanent sin limp to prove it. We too were estranged from God, distant in Lodabar, the barren place, a place of emptiness and dissatisfaction. We too lived under the fear of judgment." You see, when God puts a story in the Bible, it's not just a charming little story. Very often when we look at a story, we can place our own selves within that story and see. So in this story, we're Mephibosheth. And in this story, we get to witness the loving kindness of David as he extends it on somebody who is not deserving of that loving kindness. And I love here the greatest act of kindness that God gives us and that David gives Mephibosheth is assurance. It's going to be okay. And so today, as we read this story and we understand this, that God is today saying to us, Linda, you don't need to be afraid. That's the greatest kindness that God can whisper to your heart today. You don't need to be afraid of the future, and you don't need to be fearful for your job, and you don't need to be fearful of your children or your health, and you don't need to be fearful of what tomorrow might bring. And, you know, for some of us, sometimes we're even fearful of God because we know the things that we have done or the condition of our heart, and we fear that we stand in judgment and that we will be paid back for what we are due. But God just does what David did for Mephibosheth, and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Titus 3:4, Paul says it so perfectly. It says, when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy, he saved us. And so Jesus today, as he looks upon you and sees your heart, he says to you, don't be afraid. You don't have to worry. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've left undone. I still love you. I still accept you. And so today, God just pours on his loving kindness upon your head and upon your heart. And here in David's encounter with Mephibosheth, we just get a glimpse of what that kindness looks like. Picture perfect. Just a glimpse of the nature, just a glimpse of the character of God, a holy God who shows kindness in moving towards us, not in saving us, but because of the good or the righteous things that we've done. It's simply because of his mercy that he loves us. You see, that's how God's kindness works towards you, and that's how God's kindness works towards me. And finally, in this passage, we see something amazing. We see here that David puts kindness in action. He says in verses 10 and 9, I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. I can't believe he did that. It was his enemy, but he just extended loving kindness to him. Love talked about, David did more than words, is easily ignored. But love demonstrated is absolutely irresistible. And that's what David's love does. He takes love and he takes kindness, and he makes it incredibly irresistible. He does more than just calls Mephibosheth by name. He does more than just soothes his soul. All those things in itself was great. He took his kindness into action and something very tangible and gave him 3 meals a day and put him at a place of honor and a place of privilege. That sort of love and that sort of kindness cannot be ignored. And that sort of love and that sort of kindness always makes a difference in our world. So here's a lesson for you and me. Who are the Mephibosheths in your life? Who don't deserve and are not anticipating your loving kindness? Who are they? Real kindness requires an action. Kindness is a way of life that works for the good of another person. It's not about you, it's about them. Kindness is about bringing out the best in another person. Kindness is not looking at the labels that we often give to other people of disabled, inconvenient, worthless, unlovable. Kindness is seeing through all the labels that we can put on the people that we interact in our world and see them as a person of incredible value and extraordinary worth and an individual who is incredibly loved by God. Kindness is love in action. You know, every year, My family comes to me on Mother's Day and says, what would you like for Mother's Day? What can we get you for Mother's Day? What would you like to do for Mother's Day? We want to make it your day. And the greatest thing that you can give your mother today is not a gift or a present that you can give her. The greatest thing you can give your mom today is to live well, to live big, to love well, to make us proud. By what? Extending love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control to the rest of the world. That's when you show your mom how much you love them. There's no greater gift that you can give your mom than for every tear that she shed for you, every act of sacrifice that she gave to you, for you to take the legacy of that love and give that kindness to another person. What are the things that I just named? Fruits of the Spirit. That's what a mother, that's the greatest gift that you can give to a mom. And so I have an action for you to have this week. And I'm going to invite the ushers forward. Are they here in the room? Looks like some of them have left. In the back, they have these cards. And on this card, it says, smile, you've just been tagged. And on the other side of the card, it says, you've just been gifted with a random act of kindness. Now it's your chance to do the same. Do something nice for someone, leave this card behind, and extend God's love again. Greatest act that you can give your mom today is to be a person of kindness. And so I'm going to invite the ushers forward. I don't take care if you take one or if you take 25 of them. The action that I'm asking for today is to show the love that you've been given, do a random act of kindness, and then just leave the card behind. So every day this week, maybe several times during the week, you're going to show kindness to another person in another way. And there's hundreds of ways that you can show kindness. And you're going to do that, and then you're just going to set the card down. Maybe your act of showing kindness is sending someone a handwritten note of thanks. Maybe it's putting some coins in someone else's parking meter. Maybe it's buying coffee for the man on the street. Maybe it's cutting somebody else's hedge or cutting their lawn. Maybe it's helping someone replace their flat tire. Maybe it's paying for drinks at the other. There's so many ways that we can do loving kindness and acts of loving kindness. Maybe it's giving somebody your seat at a restaurant. Maybe it's giving a piece of fruit to a delivery person. Maybe it's complimenting someone's work. Maybe it's just extending a smile, a random act of kindness. All this week, we're going to have an opportunity to put love into action and to show kindness, unsolicited, random acts of kindness, and then leave this card behind. My hope is that you would run into all kinds of Mephibosheths this week, all kinds of them. My hope is this would cause such a stir in our city that it would cause a revolution of kindness. Because what's amazing from this, who gets your card, they're encouraged to pass it on to the next person around them. Why? Because you would make your mother proud to extend the legacy that she has given you. And then two, the Bible says the world that will know, Jesus says, the world will know that you are my disciples. Why? For the love that you have for one another. And so you make your mother proud and you extend God's love by leaving the card. I hope that as you do this today, you create such a problem that people begin talking about it. I hope that you create such a problem. They go, who are you and what are you about and why are you doing these things? I hope that it creates such a ripple effect
in this city, that you literally get one of these cards given back to you, that the fruit of the kindness that you would extend and that you would give, that would be given right back to you. You know, the Greek word and the verb tense for kindness is krestos. And it's one letter different from the word Christos, which is the word for Christ. And the first church, when it began 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, they confused Christos with Christos. And they thought that Christians were simply people who believed in kindness. It was called the kind religion. What a thing to be confused with. What a powerful thought that is. There's a tremendous benefit to you and to me as we extend kindness to each other as we engage the Mephibosheth of our world. There was this man who wrote a story in a book called Small Miracles that I read several years ago, and he talked about leaving work late one night. And as he was walking on a dimly lit pathway from his job to get to his car, he heard a scuffle along the side and over into some bushes. And it was kind of some muffled screams. And then he heard some clothing tearing. And I think it must have been the time before cell phones. For sure it must have been. Because he sat there and he wrestled in his mind, what should he do? What should be how she should respond? Because he could tell that probably a woman was being attacked. And he wrestled in his mind what he should do. Should I run to the next place and contact somebody and get some help? Or should I stop and step in? And he decided in an instant that he would come and he'd step in, and he moved to the bushes and he grabbed this man and he pulled him aside and they wrestled together to the ground. And eventually this man got up and he ran off. And he turned his head and he saw this figure in the shadows by the bushes, and she was shaking and she was crying, and he walked up to the girl and he said to her, "Ma'am, you are safe. You ran away. You are safe." And he heard just the tears and the cries as she whimpered, you're safe. It's okay. I won't hurt you." It was silent for just a second. And the little girl said, "Daddy, is that you?" You see, he had extended kindness to whom he thought was a stranger. And the reality was, the kindness that he sowed was something that he got back for himself. You see, when you extend kindness, it's not that you give something away, because you do, but what you get back, it's huge. It's huge when you extend kindness. And this week, I just want you to have some fun. And I want you just to extend kindness every chance that you get and cause a ripple effect so that people will know this church and our religion. No. So the people of this city will know that you are the kind one. And we are known as people who extend kindness and people who extend grace. David was known for having a heart that followed after God. David was kind. And this kindness made a tremendous impact in Mephibosheth's life. He set him free from loneliness. He set him free from isolation. And yet, you know what also? I think David got set free. Revenge was not a part of who he was. He was not an angry guy. He was a generous man. And he was known as in all the mistakes that he made, he was known as a man who had a heart that followed after God. And he says in the passage that he extended kindness for the sake of Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. Today, maybe that's our motivation as well, that we would extend kindness for the sake of our mom, who extended kindness to us, who believed in us even before we often believed in ourselves, and also for our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than we could ever imagine and has shown us that kind of love through his son, Jesus. In fact, Jesus says every time that you show kindness, even to the least of these, you've shown it and you've given it to me. Peter tells us that kindness comes from a heart that has tasted the grace of God. Tasted the grace of God. What an amazing picture that is. But tasting the grace of God is going to require for some of us to slow down. For some of us to pause. For some of us to do some things that is kind of inconvenient for some of us. For some of us, the kindness that we need to give today is the loving kindness towards ourselves. That we need to extend God's loving kindness towards us. And the love that he has and the kindness and favor that he has for us. Will you do me a favor this week? Will you do me a favor this week? Will you extend loving kindness? My daughter Danielle has returned home. Graduated from school, and she's come back into Portland, and she's been trying to find a job, and it's been a tough road for her. And one of the jobs that she was interested, she got a response back and told that 850 people had applied for this job. That's a lot of people. So she's picked up a job at Nordstrom's. And the other night, I went by to visit her. Now, Danielle, she is the best material I can deliver at Love and Logic classes. She was my challenging child. She's a lot like me plus, you know, and when it says that the justice, your mom says that you'll get a child just like you, well, I did, plus a little. And so she's often used as a lot of the stories in Love and Logic, and so she was a challenging person for me, and she and I butt heads in a lot of different ways as she was growing up, and she's, like I said, given me some of my best material. But last night or a few nights ago, I went by to go see her at Nordstrom's, and I just wanted to say hello and check in with her because I hadn't seen her all day. But, oh, I saw some cute shirts that I thought was great, so I grabbed them, and I thought I'd go try them on in one of the rooms. And I went back in one of the rooms, and I was in there about 5 minutes, and there was a couple of ladies that came in, and Danielle had waited on them. And I could hear her voice, put them in the room and getting them all set up, and they were quite chatty. And they were just kind of chatting away, and then they began talking about Danielle. And they were saying, wasn't she just delightful? She is such an, what she said, we probably need to tip her or something. She's such a nice girl. She's so incredibly kind. And I'm sitting in that dressing room, and what raced through all of my head was all the stories we had growing up. And delight and kindness and niceness may not have been the story that first comes to mind as we butted heads. But I sat there and I stopped putting on my shirt that was so incredibly cute. And I sat down on that little chair and I thought, that was just the best Mother's Day gift a mom could ever be given. We don't need you to make lots of money. We don't even need you to work super hard. The best gift you give us back is that you're loving and you're patient and you have kindness and you have goodness and you have gentleness and you have self-control. And I sat there thanking Jesus for the kindness of my daughter. This week, honor mom. All week long. Honor the Lord by being known as a kind person. Won't you stand with me and let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. And Mother's Day brings up all kinds of interesting emotions for many of us. For many of us, the gratefulness of our mom and the specialness that she had, and for some of us, the anger that we have towards our mom, maybe the love that she didn't show us, or I don't know, just things happen in families sometimes. But God, whatever our story is, I just pray that you would whisper to our hearts your loving kindness.
And then while we were yet sinners, and even though we are undeserved, and even though we deserve your judgment, I know I do, you look upon me and you look upon us with your incredible loving kindness. And so today, Father God, I just pray that as we leave this place, and that the grocery store clerk or our neighbor or the waitress or the waiter that waits on us today, that are even our family members that we engage with, that we would be able to lay upon them a random act of kindness, that they would be our Mephibosheth, that even though they may not deserve or they may not have earned our love and our kindness, that we would just give it to them as a random act of incredible grace. Lord, we ask that you would help us to extend your love into this nation, into this city, into our world. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Go out today and do a lot of random acts of kindness. And let me know what happens. I'd love to.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring a study by Linda Noah on kindness. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us this coming Sunday. For more information about our service times and about our church, visit us online at www.ecctoday.com.